Happy Genocide Slave Trader Day.
Aw, thanks, Chris.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And welcome to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. On today's episode, we welcome to the studio Miss Lucia Virginity, drag queen extraordinaire and a member of the Imperial Sovereign Court of All Connecticut. We also welcome via phone Jim Nassif of Longview Theatricals to discuss their upcoming production of Little Shop of Horrors, set to debut at Trevi Lounge in Bridgeport, Connecticut. All this comes up on the second half of the show, but first, we're going to jump into our first segment, which is usually what we do. My name is Tom. I am your host. And that's a bitches. I'm here with my partners in crime, those bitches that are laughing in the background. My co-host, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And this is
The Dish.
Welcome to the motherfucking show.
Yeah,
so there's so much to talk about. We are super excited. We've got guests in house. We've got guests calling in. A lot of stuff going on. But I want to talk about yesterday's disaster of a debate.
Oh, my God.
There was that. Donald Trump.
Let's get comfortable, folks.
Oh, Lord have mercy. And Lucia?
Good evening, Lucia, gentlemen.
Say hello.
Hi.
Okay. Well, welcome. Feel free to chime in.
I will.
Whenever you want. And you already know the rule about Chim, right?
Oh, yes.
We're good.
I heard last week's podcast.
It was hysterical. We had such a good time with those ladies in the house. So, Trump.
I,
the most memorable moment of the entire thing for me was his pacing around. I felt like he was going to tackle Hillary.
When he first started it, he walked behind her, and all I pictured was him not stopping and just the arms going up behind her and grabbing her by the fucking neck.
But did you see what he did to his chair?
Yeah.
He went behind the chair and he started humping it.
I didn't see that. I only got to see half of it.
Oh, it was, come on. And then when they were asking him questions, he would completely go into something
else. He didn't answer a single question. No. The first question was about like how they are... like if they're inspirational for our youth or so, about the youth, and yep. He went right to freaking ISIS in Syria.
I was like, I was like, this is kind of weird.
I think one of my favorite parts was when he kept saying it's one against three or something like that,
because he thought that Anderson Cooper and
they were all teaming up against him,
and they were all going.
But he kept saying
him.
It wrong. It's three against one.
I know.
Like he just sounded like an asshole.
I thought he said 3-on-1. I'm pretty sure he said, what is
you
it,
would
on
think,
one?
Yeah, he well, probably the way, did the way say three
he
on sa- one.
The way he said it, it sounded like he was having an orgy.
I know.
I was like, it was disgusting.
No one wants to touch that with a 50-foot pole.
No one wants to see
speaking
it.
Of, yeah, exactly. And speaking of not touching it, before it even went on, I'm like, I don't know how these two can look each other in the eye and shake each other's hands. Okay. And then they walk on the stage and they just nod to each other. But then CNN even put that in their update.
But they here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Tally. The funny thing was that the narrative going into the debate was basically all about what Trump did 10 years ago, what was being discussed on that bus. Even Billy Bush, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, Billy Bush.
He got suspended, by the way. Got suspended without pay.
From Access Hollywood?
ABC, I think is what he was doing. Right? Yeah, he got suspended without pay. So here's someone that can actually...
recently?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So he
was doing it for something that Access Hollywood. That happened in 2005.
So he got suspended now for something that happened in 2005?
Because he got caught. It got leaked. So they have to punish him somehow.
So he's a scapegoat, but here's Donald Trump. Nothing's done.
Right.
That's what kills me. But going into it, the narrative was that everyone was going to talk about that. Everyone was going to talk about that. And then an hour, 90 minutes before the debate starts, it is leaked that Donald Trump has four people coming and sitting in the front row of this, you know.
Well, he did a press conference.
Yes.
Before the debate.
To let people know who was going to be there that allegedly had issues with the Clintons back in the 90s when President Clinton.
And they were all four women.
Yes.
Yeah, there were four women that were allegedly molested or sexually assaulted
by Bill Clinton. And so all of a sudden, people stopped talking about what Donald did 10 years ago. And they were expecting that going into the debate, that was going to be what people were talked about. Mm. But as soon as Donald opened his mouth, not one word of that was uttered of who was in that room.
Right, exactly.
I didn't hear anything of that in the entire debate.
No, he did say. He did say something about it. Yeah,
I missed out.
Well, he did, but Hillary took that shit and just shriveled it up, put some foil on it, and just threw it in the oven.
Yeah, well, you know what I can't stand about the whole situation is Trump has so many skeletons in his closet, and they keep coming up one after the next.
Yeah, what the fuck's next?
And he does not know how to speak publicly. He shames races, genders, doesn't matter. He's like the worst. But all he can do to Hillary is bring up the fucking emails. Over the fucking emails, for Christ's sake.
Bernie said it best. We're tired of listening and hearing about your emails.
We're tired of the damn emails.
Pretty much. And then he looked at her and he goes, as soon as I'm president, I'm going to appoint a special prosecutor and lock you up.
Yep. I was I saw a video about that. There was a guy and he did a video about how Trump presents himself as a dictator and not as a presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. And so he was also saying, you know, it's really scary to think that America could be moving in that direction. But I mean, these are your two options. You have a douchebag dictator or you have Hillary Clinton. So,
and exactly.
Balls in your court, America.
Pretty much, yeah. I will say the Trump campaign definitely did something that I had a feeling they were going to do because the important part right now are undecided voters, and a lot of those are the independents who don't like either. And he kept using Bernie against her. But she didn't take the bait.
No, she did
kept
not.
Her cool because
she did.
They were going through a primary election. You know,
well, basically what he was trying to point out was what Wasserman Schultz, what she
Debbie
was
Wasserman
doing
Schultz.
Behind the scenes at the DNC to ensure that Bernie Sanders wasn't getting ahead in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
I don't know what those allegations are, and obviously I'm a Hillary supporter, you're a Bernie supporter, but you're supporting Hillary during this election because she's the nominee. And we're not going to get into, you know, how truthful these allegations are.
No, but it wasn't even the truth behind
because
it.
Because I don't want to kill him today.
It wasn't even the truth behind it. It's that because, in my opinion...
That's because someone's not here and you can't kill anybody else.
That's true. Yeah. If Summer were here, we'd be killing her. Everybody else threw you under the bus last episode. Let me throw you just once. Wait, let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm surprised she survived last week with, you know, Kiki Ng.
Oh, they straight up.
I listened to that podcast today and I was like hysterical. First out laughing at work. I was like, what the hell are you listening to?
It was such a fun episode. It was. But, where were we? Trump.
we're always on Trump.
Of course we're talking with Trump.
The last question.
Wait, hold on. Before we get to the last question, okay. I want to see how Chris feels about the fact that he was trying to throw Canada under the bus.
We had it at the bar. We had like a debate party last night. All the music was off, the bar was full, the TVs were blaring, and I kept saying, I'd get thrown out of that hall. And right after, he said, who's comparing, or talking about bad medical.
The healthcare.
And he goes, look at Canada. And I just heard, right after I say, I would get thrown out, I'm like, fuck you. immediately.
I mean, there is a little bit of truth to that about the healthcare.
No, I do understand. Theirs isn't perfect, but they have a plan that they're starting. They have to work on it. Ours is just the beginning as well.
But here's the thing. It's Canada, and Canada is a lovely country. And so what if it takes you a little bit longer to get healthcare? At least you have it. At least you are guaranteed healthcare when you are a citizen of Canada. Mm-hmm. That's an impressive feat. Hey, listen, I've always said it. I am totally for what Bernie stood for and universal healthcare. I just don't think that in the next 20 years, as Americans and how capitalist we are, we can get there without really like going through a freaking civil war about it.
Well, this is pretty much already pushing us toward that civil war, but I get your point.
But I'm afraid. I'm serious. Come November 8th, I think that's the day.
The election day is November 8th. I'm afraid of November 9th.
I'm afraid of what's going to happen the next day after the election when they announce who the winner for president is or who the president will be.
Well, that'll happen that night.
If Trump wins, there'll be a lot of violence. If Hillary wins, if Trump wins, it's going to be blamed on the Russians. And then if Hillary wins, the Trump supporters are going to go crazy.
Probably. Bad shit.
So that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be a pretty one. It hasn't been pretty since the beginning.
It was crazy. It was just weird. It's been weird. The campaign is just... Ouch.
It reminds me I need to renew my passport. I may move to Canada.
Yeah, somewhere.
Well,
I will say...
I'll come with you.
The media has really driven this. Because if you think about it, on average, I believe there's 100 million viewers for the Super Bowl each year. The first debate, I believe, run around 80 million viewers.
Oh, it broke this records.
It's insane.
And this one, like I'm thinking it probably did even better.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. So. Like I said, last night it was like
a party. Is funny you bring that up. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, please.
Yeah, of course.
Jimin. But it's funny how you bring that up, like how people are viewing this year's presidential debate. 4 years ago, 8 years ago, people were more concerned about American Idol and not worry about who the president's going to be.
American
but
Idol
this
had more.
This year is very crucial.
Incredibly.
You don't understand.
Well, and I also think, too, it's not just that it's crucial. It's that they now know how to target that audience. They now know how to target the younger audience because of social media.
Social media has changed the game.
It really has.
And it's great when I see at the news on ABC, there's students at colleges that they have to watch the debate because it's part of their assignment for them to understand. It said today there was
mine. I'm actually in college right now, and I'm doing communications, and one of my assignments is to watch that debate and deconstruct it and give my findings tomorrow when I turn in my paper.
There was a student that was interviewed, and he was a Trump supporter until last night's debate.
Really?
He should have been a Trump supporter until the last time they had the debate, and that was it.
That's a really good point that you say that, because obviously Hillary Clinton did a better job last night. But I'm positive. I will say that Trump did not gain a single vote, not alone in that room, across the country. Uh-huh. He didn't get someone to his side. He may have kept some people, but he didn't gain one.
That's because Hillary was there, educated, and spoke poignantly. And he was just there.
He tried. He tried to bring the beast out of her, but she just stayed so calm. And she smiled at a couple of his remarks and grinned and said, well, you know, that face that she would make. Honey, let me tell you, all of her pictures should be featured with the smile she had on that debate yesterday. Because it was brilliant. It was amazing. Her stylist is just genius. I'm sorry.
And whoever contoured, Trump's face, she could be fired.
Since day one, it's been
whoever
horrible.
Said that Trump could actually wear makeup should be fired. Whoever said Trump can come out in public should be fired.
That should have been his first wife.
Yeah, well, Ivana. I love that woman. One of my favorite lines from the movie First Wives Club, when she goes like, honey, don't get mad. Get everything. I loved it. One of my favorite quotes. But going back to the end of that debate.
Sorry.
The last question.
Yep.
Can any of you say something nice about each other? And I was like, oh shit. And Hillary just
laughed and grinned. Yes. She did.
And then she went into his kids. I think that his kids, one of the only things I can think of that he has done well with is his kids. And then it was his turn. And he literally just endorsed her for president. He turns around and says, she never quits.
No matter what I throw at her, she can keep going.
She keeps going. She never quits. And that's an admirable quality. That's a very presidential quality. She never quits. And he just left it there.
Yep.
I was like, you literally just threw your support behind, literally behind her. I was like, wow, great. Thanks. So, moving on. Debate is done.
Yes.
13 minutes of discussing debates. But we needed to because it was just that
crazy. Oh, of course.
Crazy.
How do you not?
But I want to talk about our opening today. Christopher.
Yes.
You mentioned something. Can you repeat your phrase?
Happy Genocide and Slave Trading Day.
Okay, so today...
Why are you looking at me, Chris? I am not Black. I am Asian or South Pacific.
I was looking at you, but I didn't think it was subconscious.
Which reminds me, I listened to your podcast last week. I'm Filipino. So, a little history. Back in the 1500s, we were Spanish settlers. Uh-huh. So, that's why we're mixed. Asian, Spanish, Japanese, Chinese.
Sometimes I forget what I say.
All done up, my actual birth name is Eduardo.
Eduardo.
Yes. Just don't call me Eddie.
So hey, Eddie. Am I correct in assuming that there's a large population of the Filipino people that have Spanish last
names? Yes, that is correct.
Because I see that often.
If it's not the first name, it's the last name. So
okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I see a lot of last names we like Perez. Something. I see a lot of...
And the Hawaiians are actually our Eastern cousins. Chinese and Japanese are Western cousins, and those South... the island right before Australia is a southern country, cousins.
New Zealand?
Yes.
Lovely.
Or Papua New Guinea or one of those. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're getting a lesson. Well, either way, I just wanted to let you guys know that Lucia Virginity is in the house, and she is looking absolutely stunning. Thank you. Indeed. She took the time to actually come in and, you know, in her getup, in her drag, and she looks amazing. So thank you for throwing the face on for Gay Talk 2.0. We're going to take pictures later.
Definitely.
And we're going to throw that on our website.
I only took 40 minutes for this.
Fabulous, by the way. So,
thank you.
Going back to Columbus Day.
I didn't even shower before I came here.
You're nasty.
All right, Columbus Day.
So today is Columbus Day, and
Trade Slaving Day.
Exactly. I sort of kind of, given up on the whole celebration of Columbus Day because I feel that, you know, we shouldn't be celebrating a man that came here and took everything that belonged to our indigenous people from the Americas and got accolades for it and is revered and it's got a national holiday after someone who really all they did was kill people and take people and run people from their own land. And so I was reading an article, and Denver has permanently approved an Indigenous People Day as opposed to Columbus Day. So going forward, the city of Denver will no longer celebrate Columbus Day on the second Monday of October after the city council voted to change the holiday to Indigenous People's Day. Denver joins other cities such as Seattle, Minneapolis, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Portland, Oregon, of cities on the list that are now marking this particular holiday as Indigenous People's Day. And I implore other townspeople, other mayors, other governors to consider doing the same, because I think that it is time that we end the celebration of mass genocide of Indigenous people in this country.
I like that. I like that.
So just throwing that out there into the universe and see what comes out of that.
I have to give props to him, though. He had a bigger boat than I did. He came on a boat and I came on a raft with fried rice.
Oh, I love it. Oh. Was it good fried rice?
Yep. Of course. Two hours later, you want more. So.
Well, that's true for a lot of Asian cuisine, though, because it's like so good. It's like you savor it up and then 2 hours later, you're hungry again.
That's called MSG.
I love it.
So you want to hear something fun and gay?
Tell me something. Oh, well, fun and
yes,
gay.
Yes, Trish.
Well, first of all, it's not fun, but I'm happy about it.
Well, before we go into that story, let me tell you about the gayest supermarket run I had today ever. Oh. So I decided that we're going to go to the supermarket with Trish and we're going to pick up some stuff so that we can have something to nibble on. And this bitch just sticks her basket under her arm like she's Little Red Riding Hood, and she starts skipping down the fucking aisles.
First of all, that's how I shop all the time. And then I got a phone call, and I was so, just sashaying
like,
around.
So like Little Riding Hood?
Little Red Riding Hood.
But ho.
But she was running around the supermarket with a phone like this, talking to her friend in the gayest tone possible, and she passes by this little old lady, and the little old lady does one of these, looks him up and down, and just keeps walking, and just went.
And well, she's jealous. She don't got what I got. Fuck her.
Well, that's true. So I just thought I had throw that out there because I was like, and then I kept looking at him like, oh my God, Nick, you are so gay.
He said that to me like 5 times. I today.
Did. It you was cheated on me. You went to the grocery store with someone else?
I did.
Yeah, he did.
I did. He did.
This is
well,
over.
I could probably trump you, Trish, because I actually
dump get, Trump. Sorry.
Sorry. I actually get gas in full face of makeup.
Gas.
I'm fucking proud of you.
That's awesome. I don't give a shit.
I don't really swear, but I don't give a shit.
I thought you meant putting makeup on physically makes you flatulate. You get. I was like, what the fuck is she talking? Never mind, forget it.
Anyway.
But I found $5.
But I will say this, though. You do look very, very elegant. So if you were at a gas station and I didn't know any better, I'd probably look at you and be like, okay, yeah, no biggie.
Oh, no. I'm
a
like,
career I, chick is getting gas and she's going to get her woman, car. Yes.
No, I only have makeup. Mm-hmm. I have nothing else on. I'm like sweats, hoodie, baseball cap, pump gas, get my cigs, but. Mm-mm. I keep the face on.
That's like when Robin travels. It's hilarious.
No, seriously. Like, I know queens that actually will, you know, get gas, get cigarettes, have full face makeup. It's like, have someone else do it. It's like, I don't give a shit. Sorry. But I'll do it myself.
Well, you know.
She said 2 swear words.
I completely understand why people would be nervous about it. I mean, there's like a lot of hostility toward the drag and trans community. So I wouldn't
You know, I mean, I'm proud of everybody who's strong enough to walk into that gas station mm-hmm. and stand up and go get their cigarettes. But
especially gas stations around here.
Well, especially in the town I live in. I live in the woods. So I was like really hillbilly. So I was like, you know, everybody knows myself and my parents. Like, just, you know, hat, glasses, you know, here you go. That's it, you know, seriously.
Yep. That's the way to do it, though. I mean, you know, hats off. If you have the balls, use them.
Right now they're tucked.
How far up? We talked about this.
I'm half Asian, so put that together.
Okay, so during the last episode, we talked about different versions of tucking. Some people say they do duct tape. Some people say they do.
That'd be Tiana.
Several layers of.
That'd be Kiki.
Okay, and what do you do to tuck?
Again, I'm half Asian. I wear actually 9 layers.
9 layers.
Mm-hmm. I wear a cincher and 9 layers. I have like 2 corsets, like built-in corsets. So.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that keeps it all in. You get mm-hmm. to go. That's fabulous. So another tucking lesson from Gay Talk 2.0.
Because I don't wear pantyhose because I actually just tucked up shaving just for tonight.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Just for commitment. You guys.
She really went out.
This is my third day in phase out of 4. Saturday was my night off. I did Friday, yesterday, and today.
Well, thank you so much for, like I said before, for throwing that face on because, you know, we appreciate it.
Well, I talked to you and also Paul Anthony. I was like, I'm doing your podcast. Like, I'm coming in face.
Good. And I mean, and listen.
99.5%. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
And we appreciate that. And in our studio or in my home, because really it's my dining room table, but I call it my studio. Anyone is welcome to sit down with us in any form that you'd like to sit down as. And, you know, that's how we are. We're very accepting and loving. And it's Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. So, Nick, tell us about your gay yes. experience.
Sorry. We cut you off like 7 minutes ago.
He forgot what he was even talking about.
Fuck you.
I didn't even say anything.
Love you.
You're cool. I'm out.
No. Well, we know you're out, girl.
No, there's a bakery that was anti-gay and they refused to serve a gay couple. I believe it was actually to do a gay couple's wedding in Oregon.
Yeah, a lesbian couple's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Motherfucker, your bakery closed, bitch. Bye.
Because nobody's going to...
Were they boycotted? Listen.
So Sweet Cakes in Oregon, Aaron and Melissa Klein, the owners. Sorry about it. Not sorry.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Tiana.
Brenda's nachos.
So speaking of Tiana Maxim.
I was actually doing Amy Schumer, but.
Well, she's the one that does it all the time.
We'd love to have you on the show, Amy. Bye.
Bye. Or even Alaska. Oh my Thunderfuck.
God, no. After the last 2 weeks, no.
Well, I have to say this. What you're seeing on RuPaul's Drag Race right now and all that craziness, that's show. That's show and it's edited. And so.
But the judges were shocked for that.
I'm sure the shock wasn't genuine. Trust me when I tell you, because we do a lot of things.
Why you gotta ruin everything?
You're crushing her dreams.
I'm just saying. Listen, guys, hate on her, but at the end of the day, know that them bitches are making bank.
Exactly.
That's all I gotta say. So.
It's great entertainment.
It is.
They're playing that. You know.
It is, and I have to catch up. I'm a couple of episodes behind on Drag Race, so no spoilers.
What episode are you on?
I am on number 3. Yeah, I've missed like half the season. It's like one more episode and it's almost done.
Girl, I'm almost done with my drink before you.
So
that's a first because she sucks her drinks down.
I do. So anyway, that bakery.
Yeah, no, they're closed. Nothing else. I just wanted to shame them and be like, fuck you, bitches.
Bye, Felicia. Bye.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell on to that. But where you said, you know, a business that won't support LGBT. There was also... I mean, we'll get to this point, but there was an organization we were asked to be our beneficiaries for our organization.
You'll get there.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm already done with my first drink. But they do not support the LGBT community.
What group was this?
I don't remember. It was actually last year's beneficiary, but someone who was...
So you guys were reaching out to them for them to be your beneficiary.
Yes,
and they said...
No.
Okay. And that was their reasoning.
Yes. And it's like, okay.
And are they based in Connecticut?
Yeah.
What was their reasoning?
They don't support LGBTQ.
Okay, hold on. Time out. We need to find out what this company's name is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
I do not know. Our Dowager Emperor, Dustin DeCalbwebs, would know because she asked them to be the beneficiary. Okay.
You have homework.
Yep, you have homework. You're going
to
find that out.
You need to find that out. And
we going to shame them.
We going to shame them.
We have a bus with their name on it.
Oh, yes, we do.
But last year, we'll get to that point, but Dustin DeCalbwebs and Dandelions, they were monarchs last year for our organization, Figureheads, and they picked the beneficiaries who they want, you know, to support us, and we support them. But one organization said no. Dustin's like, okay, we're moving on. So I will do my homework and find out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Absolutely. So. Because you know what? It's not right. We live, especially in a state like Connecticut, we're so progressive when it comes to.
The other day I was standing outside the bar and somebody walked by. It was like a group of three. I'm sorry. They were douchebags, but they were fucking hot as fuck.
Oh,
wait, they could like get that. It.
It's usually the case.
But they walked by and they were like, gay, fag. And I was just like, yes, I am a gay and I am a fag. Like, thank you for pointing that out because I didn't know when I got fucked last night.
The biggest one running through Stop and Shop.
Do you actually remember his name, Nick?
That doesn't matter.
That's not the point. That's not the point.
Speaking of getting fucked.
Oh.
Speaking of getting fucked.
Okay.
Let's talk about poppers.
Oh, poppers.
Wait, you're talking about poppers and Paul Anthony's not here.
I know. Well, Paul Anthony no longer is a part of our show. He has chosen to leave the show. So
we're going to have to talk about poppers without him.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did educate me on poppers, though, and I poured poppers down Chris's nose one time.
Yeah,
but that's
I heard
beside
that
the point.
And his roommate, too.
10 things you should know about poppers.
Yes.
Okay, one. Poppers is slang for the chemical class called alkali nitrates.
Our room
two,
risers.
Poppers work by relaxing the smooth muscles in your body. Three, poppers became big during gay scene, disco scene in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Taking poppers and Viagra is extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. Do not do it. Five, don't ingest them. Sorry, Chris. Six, only 3% of the population use poppers. Paul is a part of that 3%.
Paul's like 2%
of
that
3%. Yes.
I think Paul makes up 100% of the popper usage, at least in this day.
Well, hasn't we talked to him since he went to P-Town for a wedding?
Oh, no, we were just texting not too long ago.
A couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
Seven, the UK almost banned poppers. Eight, Canada did ban poppers.
This is very true.
So before you go into number nine, so if you're in Canada and you're using poppers and you get caught, is that considered like a felony and you can get kicked out?
No, poppers, I'm pretty sure are...
I think you just can't buy them there.
I'm pretty sure I saw them, but they're not called poppers.
Yeah, they have to be called something else. It's like the same thing here. They're not called poppers. They're called like...
It's like room odorizers.
Yeah, room odorizers. Yeah. The chemical, and it's actually in glass cleaners, so that's what we said we were going to call them when I went to Canada with them. But I never went to Canada with them because that's against Canadian law and I'm going to be a great Canadian citizen someday.
Yes, queen.
Number nine.
I had to protect myself.
There are plenty of negative side effects, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to list them all for you because there's so many of them. But if you are thinking about using poppers, please do your research.
Mm-hmm. I get
and
nauseous.
And number 10, you technically need a prescription for the actual compound that is poppers. So just keep that in mind when you're getting fucked later. Thanks.
Yes, queen.
Thank you, Zachary Zane, for 10 things you should know about poppers.
All right. Well, listen, we need to keep it moving. Keep it going. We have to move into Angels and Assholes. But before we do, I'd like to mention that in 2 days from now, Matthew Shepard, who was an American student at the University of Wyoming, was beaten, tortured, and left to die near Laramie, Wyoming on the night of October 6th, 1998. That was 18 years ago. And since then, many things have happened. Many laws have been enacted. Many protections have been put in place to protect people from hate crimes. And the efforts of his mother... I revere this woman so much for her drive to ensure that her son's legacy is lived for the rest of her life and ours. We wanted to make sure that we mentioned that his anniversary is coming up, and We are grateful to his mother for her cause and for always ensuring that his memory will remain alive. Because of his loss, we gained a lot. His death really started a movement for the
gay community. A huge movement. Yeah, his death, you know, I think of Matthew Shepard almost, it's horrible. I mean, what he went through, but he was really a martyr for our community. Mm-hmm. He was a catalyst that lit a fire that started this immense movement. I mean, after the Stonewall riots and all of that, his death really pushed us forward in such a positive, strong way. I mean, so I can only thank him for everything that he's done and miss him every day.
Don't mm-hmm. cry, Trish.
I went and visited his grave, and I went to the place where he was left on the fence, and I went to his college, and I left flowers on the fence. I don't know why I've connected to this story so deeply in my whole life, but I have, and it's if you ever get a chance to visit Laramie, Wyoming, you should.
It's a very, very powerful moment and movement. And like I said, his death signified a change in the way we were seen, because we were no longer the obscene, we were human. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a very powerful legacy to live by. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I'd like to jump into our segment, Angels and Assholes. Being that we just talked about Matthew Shepard, I don't want to start it with the assholes this time. We're going to start it with the episode Angel. And for this particular episode, we would like to dedicate this episode to none other than Leroy Valentin Fernandez.
Can I get some love?
Yes.
Thank you, girl. Yes, yes, yes.
All right, let's try that one more time. So, for this particular episode, we would like to dedicate the episode to Leroy Valentin Fernandez, 25 years old. Leroy was a leasing agent at an Orlando housing complex. Fernandez had even recently found love with a dancer. His stage name was Iman Valentino. Valentino was also murdered at Club Pulse that Sunday morning. Fernandez loved to dress up and to perform dance routines for crowds to some of his favorite stars, including Jennifer Lopez, Beyonce, and others. And whereas he was, he just, you know, couldn't be anywhere without being musically inclined, and a lot of people missed that about him. One of his friends was quoted saying that her life is silent without him. So we'd like to dedicate this episode to him. And now we'll move into
some asshole.
Yes. Well, we have one asshole.
We do have one asshole this week. We have one not asshole, which I'm going to glorify in a moment. The following senators from the state of Missouri: Claire McCaskill, who's a Democrat. She voted yes. So good job, Claire. Claps. Yes.
Congratulations and thank you for
my lips
your
are
efforts.
Moving.
Now, Roy Blunt, on the other hand, that bitch voted no to common sense gun reform. And for his inaction, we label him an asshole.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I was Buddha.
You forgot about the assholes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We'll leave you with Melissa Etheridge's Pulse. And when we come back, Lucia Virginity.
And my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now? There's no one left but you. Who are you gonna gun down if you can't kill the truth that it's inside of us? It's inside our blood. It's inside of us. I am human. I am love. My blood, love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Human,
underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are just coming back from our break. That was Melissa Etheridge's Pulse. With us today in the studio, we have, ladies and gentlemen, Lucia Virginity. Who are we going to be talking with her a bit later on about the Imperial Sovereign Court of all of Connecticut. But on the phone with us, we have Jim Nassif and also Ricky Mastry, who are currently working on a production of Little Shop of Horrors that will be performed at Trevi Lounge starting October 21st and running all the way through November 6th. We'll have information on our website about that. But welcome to the show, guys.
Hi.
Sounds like a gay old party over there.
I know.
I was just going to say. Yeah, it is.
So let me just get some volume on you guys. So tell us, what's going on? What's this Little Shop of Horrors all about? I mean, obviously, some of us have seen the movie, but for those who haven't.
I've seen the movie and the show. Yes, Queen.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean for you. It's the perfect time of year for it because it's Halloween season, and who doesn't want to go to a Halloween kiki at a gay bar and see a musical? And, you know, not for nothing, Trevi Lounge, I don't know if listeners have been there before, but it's a little bit more than a gay bar because they do have a little pool hall, and they do karaoke, there's a dance floor, there's couches, it's comfortable, fun environment. And so not only is this a Halloween show, but we're hoping to get people to come out to, you know, one of the only gay bars in the area and have fun. And so we're trying to get people in the community to come out to Trevi and see a show.
You know, I've never actually been to Trevi.
I think we're going to have to take a road trip, guys.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
I went there one time.
There's 11 shows. You can pick one.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of information. So I was reading through a lot of this description that we have here. I put it up on our website. And this is a very, very involved production.
Yeah, you know, and it's about educating the regulars that go to Trevi when we tell them about our show. They go, oh, where is it going to be? I saw the poster. And we're like, it's here. And so we have to kind of describe to them and pitch this vision that there will be, you know, a small stage that we've rented. It's a 12 by 12 foot platform. There's going to be lighting and sound. All the actors will be wearing a body mic, and we're bringing in lighting and sound. So, for all intents and purposes, you will feel like you know, you're getting your bang for your buck in a sense.
Now, how much are tickets?
Tickets are just $20, which, you know, it's not too bad for an amateur theater production in the area.
That's not bad at all.
No, not at all. Is this like a fully realized production, or is it whittled down, a little smaller, or is it, you know, the full-fledged show?
That's a good question. There was a recent concert in New York City at the Encore concert with Jake Gyllenhaal and Ellen Green.
He could get
2015.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what they did with that concert was they kind of reinvented the rules, so to speak, of what you could do with Little Shop. And when we were applying for the licensing, I asked them straight up. I said, are we allowed to deviate from what's typically done? Do we need to have a big puppet? And they said, you know what? You don't, actually. People are starting to do their own thing now. So we are actually fortunate because we get to have an audience that is 21 plus. So we don't need to cater to little kids who need to see a Jim Henson puppet. We can actually allow the audience to use their imagination, so to speak. So you will actually see Audrey too. And he will be in some you know, festive green costume, and you get to actually see him, which is nice because more often than not, it is just a voice off stage. So it's fun to play. We're having a lot of fun creating this more minimal approach to the show while still giving you a full-fledged production at the same time.
So can I ask, being that this is a 21-plus show, does Audrey 2 have a cock?
Audrey 2 does. Yes! One of the Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, this is an explicit podcast, so if you want to, you can, you know, let it loose. It's okay.
Okay.
We won't shun you for swearing. I think Ricky okay. knows that. Right, Ricky?
Oh, yeah, but I usually don't swear unless you get me really, really angry. And so, that usually never happens anyways. So.
There's tons of swears in Little Shop.
Oh, well, I mean, I remember
there
the
really
movie.
Are.
Yeah. That's, and especially, you know what the lovely thing about it is, you're doing this in a gay bar, and you know that the gay crowd tends to be very catty and very witty. And so if you feed into that, I think this would be amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a cult classic, Love Letter. I mean, every gay man knows this show, and so we're also bringing that to it as well. And not for nothing, our Audrey can belt her face off, so I think people won't be disappointed on that front.
So let me just say that Chris, our lovely co-host, here is he does not know what Little Shop of Horrors. So not every gay man does know it. But then again, we did take Chris's gay card away from him the moment he said, "I like dick."
I know what Little Shop of Horrors is. I've never seen it.
Suddenly Seymour.
I don't think you were even born when it came out.
No, I don't think I was either.
No, that came out.
But
in the
80s. I'm the only one who's actually been to Trevi Lounge here. Granted, I did fall, but I was there one time.
Of course you fell.
I took a tumble.
So let me ask. So Ricky Mastry is also on the line, aside from Jim. Ricky, you're actually in this production.
Yeah, actually, both of us are.
Oh, okay. So you both are.
Jim
I thought he was
also playing a role. I'm playing. No, we're all in it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm secretly in the show too. Oh my god,
it's not a secret anymore, honey.
Yeah, not anymore. So let me. Are you Audrey 2 by any chance? Are you the cock behind Audrey 2?
More or less, yeah.
Yes!
Oh, that was easy. That was really easy.
We see you heard it you here know, first on Gay Talk 2.0.
That's okay. Right. If you've listened to episode 5.
Have a lot of fun with that.
If you've listened to episode 5, Tommy talks about his lust for blood fucking. So I know that Audrey 2 likes some blood. So Tommy will be there in rare form, ready to go, honey.
Oh, Lord have mercy. See, this gets me.
I'm sorry. We're taking you down a wrong path. Anyway.
So we know what role you play. Ricky, what are you playing, Ricky? What are you playing on the show?
I'm actually, my role changes from scene to scene almost because when I'm not one character and then I kind of switch my costume and then I'm somebody else. So it started off with the dentist, and you know, I'm also playing a customer. I'm also playing, you know, people from different agencies trying to give contracts to Seymour. So I'm kind of, you know, you'll see me up on stage, but every time you see me, I'm playing somebody different. So it's a little bit of a challenge to kind of come up with, you know, so many different multiple personalities.
Essentially, Ricky is the ensemble of the show. And when picking a show for a small venue like Trevi Lounge, what was appealing about Little Shop is that it's just 8 people, which is really small for a musical. And how it's written, and it's really fun and campy, is that Oren, right, the abusive, villainous boyfriend of Audrey, he actually also plays all the little character parts in the show too, which is really fun for Ricky because he gets to explore not only this one asshole character, but he gets to be, there's actually a little drag moment for you in there too.
That's awesome though. Yeah. I mean, Ricky's always been someone who is very creative, and I've known Ricky for many years, and I really admire his creativity, you know, because he really does really well with characters. So I'm sure that this is going
to
be a really,
sure
really,
be
really
able
good
to
production.
Pull off some of these.
You better pull off all of them. What are you talking about? Every single one of them.
I'm working on it, Tommy. I'm working on it.
I want to see you go down Skid Row, and who's singing Suddenly Seymour? Because that's going to be my favorite.
I am.
Amanda Alter. Our Audrey, like, I'm telling you, she is worth the $20 alone.
She's amazing.
She is.
Actually, we have a lot of talented voices in this cast, so
yeah. Yeah, the girls are great. I mean, it's a really fun group of people.
Well, listen.
The rehearsal process is really fun.
We're going to plug this on our website. And if you guys need to listen to or know the website one more time, that's www.gaytalk20.com. We're going to have all of the show dates on our website. We're going to have all the information related to the show. And if you need to purchase tickets, once you review the information, if you want to buy those tickets, you can go to www.longview-theatricals.com.
You nailed it. Proud of you.
Did I say that right?
Good job, Tommy.
I tried, baby. I tried.
That's why you get paid the big bucks.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Speaking of getting paid the big bucks, I still haven't gotten my Gay Talk 2.0 check, and it's been 33 episodes.
Thank you.
So can we talk about that real quick?
I'll be at the door. I'll be
not
at
right
the
now. It's about us.
Oh, sorry.
I'll be at the door at Travi Lounge collecting the $20 per ticket so that I can pay these bitches off. So, anyway, guys, you're definitely going to have to check out the show. I'm looking at some dates to see when Gay Talk can make an appearance.
Yeah, I would love to come.
And come down and see this. And maybe we can, you know, work out some other things at Travi Lounge. You never know.
Yeah, just make it a gay date. Yeah,
you never know. You
just
never
putting
know.
Out first.
So if our people needed to contact you guys individually, any Facebook information, any places where our listeners can go and look you guys up?
If you would like to share.
If you go to that website, www.longview-theatricals.com, on the bottom, there's a link to the Facebook page. And there's fun posts all the time about Little Shop and the history of the show and what's coming up. So definitely check that out, too.
Okay, awesome. Well, listen, thank you so much for giving us a call and telling us about the show. We're going to work with you guys and throw everything that we've got behind this, our social media campaign, and, of course, putting it on our website and letting people
know. Thank you.
Plugging the show for the next few episodes so that you guys could hopefully get a fantastic turnout. And Gay Talk will probably have to come out. You know, thank you so much for calling us. And Jim, nice.
Thank you, Tommy.
Ricky,
thank
anytime, you know that I love you dearly and you're a great friend, and
I
anything we can
too.
Do to help you guys out, just let us know.
All right. Thank you. So
all
thanks,
right.
Guys.
Bye, Halloween. Guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Ciao.
Ciao. All right,
can I just say real quick,
yes.
My social calendar is filling up so much because we're having far too many guests on the show. I can't keep up with it. I have one day off a week. It's Saturdays, okay? I have to go to an event every Saturday.
I have to tell you.
What's a day off? I really don't.
Right?
I really don't.
I have to tell you that since Gay Talk started, I really have, in a very weird, euphoric way, reached out to the community in a way that I've never done so before. I've engaged people that normally I would really not. And it's been such an amazing experience. And I like the person that I'm becoming. I'm more open. I'm more engaging in the sense that, you know, when people approach me now, I'm looking at it from a different perspective. It's not personal. And this is not business either. We do this for fun because there's no money behind this. What we're doing here is something that we love to do because we love to get together and talk and
drink,
dish it out
and dish it out and all that good stuff. And if
even
we could
public service announcements. We have breaking news. We got to get a sound for that, by the way. We got to get a sound for that. Well, oh, shit. Even though you guys aren't going to hear this until much later, more like the breaking news here on Gay Talk 2.0. Samsung issues alert telling customers to turn off their Galaxy Note 7 phones immediately after spontaneous fires in the devices. Unfortunately, you are going to hear this 3 hours from now. Signing off.
Get an iPhone.
It's funny you say that, Chris, because actually I saw the news today. They're actually recalling those.
They just sent out a CNN alert to shut it off immediately.
Yeah. Now, even the replacements.
At 7 o'clock? I saw this at 12 noon this afternoon.
Well, they just actually told you not it's a recall. If you have it, shut it off.
You got to remember this.
It's going to light on fire. You guys getting the urgency with this?
iPhone.
Exactly. I looked around. I should have warned those guys, though.
Samsung is on the other side of the planet, so it might be 7 o'clock in the morning at their time.
What if right when they hung up with us, his phone bursted into flames? I'm going to feel bad that I wasn't quick enough.
Oh, Lord. Did he have a
Honey, we all know that you're quick enough. We all know that you're quick enough.
I will tell you this. Jim Nassif has an iPhone.
Was it a flame? Was he a flamer?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, you know, it's a pun. It's a pun. I like it.
All right.
So let me set the stage for you, okay? Because we're about to start talking to Lucia Virginity. So we're all just sitting here. We're all, you know, just
in our normal garb, and then we have this beautiful woman across the table from us, and she's got this wig on, and her headphones are lost in the wig, and it's just become this beautiful fro, and I love every minute of it. But anyway,
if you take a picture, I'll kill you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you guys, she's been with us all episode, none other than the fantabulous Lucia Virginity.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Welcome to the show. Tell us what's been going on. There's so much to talk about.
Yes, there so has much. Been. So where do you want to start? Ask
well,
questions.
Well, let's start. Well, what's going on in your personal life? Let's talk about that first.
She's
let's
pregnant. To,
are you pregnant?
No, and what's a personal life?
Really? Okay, what's a day well, off? What's a personal life?
So no personal life. So this is all business. You're not. Are you dating anyone? Are you looking? Are you? What's going on?
I was dating someone, but that's kind of under the rug right now. So.
Oh, I don't make that awkward, Tommy.
I was like, no, you don't touch that.
Anyway, can you tell me? Because yes. I'm still so confused. What is the structure of the court? What is the purpose of the court?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the structure, let's announce that we're going to be talking about the Imperial Sovereign Court of all of Connecticut.
Did that shot just hit you right now?
Yes, it sure did. Now go.
I already asked my question.
Yes, to answer the question, the Imperial Sovereign Court of all Connecticut is one out of 70 chapters. Am I too far away from
that? Yeah, you want to get on that mic.
Yeah, get on that mic like you do a cock, baby.
It's black. I don't do black.
Oh!
It's also orange. Donald, you're out of luck, Donald.
He needs to check with his doctor. But no, the Imperial Sovereign Court of all Connecticut is one out of 70 chapters of 70. We're actually a part of a bigger organization that's been around for 52 years now.
Wow.
Started out in San Francisco.
Okay.
The creator of the organization, Jose C.R. Jose Julio Saria, actually was in San Francisco. He wanted to do something that the LGBT community that actually can come together and be comfortable. But back in the day, you know, it's back in the 70s, 60s, yeah, that it had to be very, you know,
hidden.
So wanted an atmosphere for people to be comfortable. And it just started over 50 years ago, 51, 52 years ago. And he started with the organization where now we raise awareness and charity for the community. Unfortunately, he had passed away a few years ago. God rest his soul. Mm. But his successor, Nicole the Great, Queen Mother of the Americas, she resides in San Francisco right now. And she's been traveling. She was just in Cincinnati this past weekend for their charity ball.
Okay.
We say coronation, but it's basically a charity ball.
Now, is this like a full-time position for her? Like, is this her job?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So let me ask you. Mm-hmm. So why the structure of...
It's based off the British royalty. We don't say king or queen. We say emperor and empress.
So it's based off of what? Which royalty family? I'm sorry?
British.
The British.
British.
But the British usually say king, queen, but I know that the Indian British monarchies used to use the emperor or empress and things of that nature. But why would the organization go and take a structure in where people are categorized for what they are from top to bottom to bring unity into a community? Because if you really look at the aristocratic structure of how England used to be, it was always very segregated by class. There was a hierarchy. You're king, queen, you've got your countess, and you know, you've got duchess, your duchess
and lord and lady.
Mm-hmm. Everyone had a category. So if you want to unite a community, why choose this structure and why call it that?
Well, to tell you the truth, I do not know the reason behind it.
Well, there is something to be said about the structure and about the titles within the structure. It seems to me like it's very classy and very, very strong and
long-lived, right?
There is no doubt that the organization is very classy. I see a lot of the events that they actually put together. And let me tell you, the garments and the tuxedos and the way people dress are on point. I mean, you guys know how to throw a really good party.
And the thing is that what we wear, from the crowns, the gowns, the garments, the tuxedos, that's all out of our pocket.
Right.
All the money that's being, you know, when you pay the cover for an event, the tips, the raffles, whatever it may be, all that money is going back to charity. It's going back to the community. Because basically, before we were talking about politics, I was never much of a politician.
Neither was Trump, actually. He said that. But anyway.
Except I could contour. But anyway. But I had said it was like more like an entertainment, like we're trying to raise money for the community. But getting further up into the stature of position, politics do kind of work into it a little bit, because you have to, and I hate to say it, you have to know how to play the game. And I hate to say that word.
It's true, though.
So
it's like keeping the bridges of, like, you know, I'm here with you guys tonight. I'm going to plug you from here on beforehand. And then all the events, all the venues, performers I've been with, you know, is just keeping those relationships and friendships and business. And it's like, it's from the words of my drag mother, Dandy Lyons.
Love her.
Hello, Dandy Lyons.
Hello.
She was, she treats her drag as a business, because you have to know where you're going, what you're doing, if it's a paid gig, if it's charity, and all that, right. The whole nine yards.
You do a lot of charities.
I do.
You do a significant amount of charities in our community, especially here in New Haven and in other cities throughout Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So when you look at an organization that has 70-plus chapters, I'm assuming this is all over the North America, right?
East Coast, West Coast, Canada, and Mexico.
Okay. So when you have 70-plus chapters...
Nothing in Middle America.
No, actually, all the chapters are actually on the coast, actually.
That's kind of sad.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So, you know.
It does make sense, but it's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at things, for example, things that occur in Middle America, you would understand why something like this probably wouldn't fit well yet, at least in this time. So explain to me. You say that this is the imperial sovereign court of all of Connecticut. Is there an imperial sovereign court of just some of Connecticut anywhere? Why are we choosing to focus on the word all?
Because we're the whole state of Connecticut. We'll do New Haven, Hartford, New London, Norwalk, Middletown, Meriden, Danbury. It's just, we are an inclusive organization, because we don't want to say no to everybody.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing as saying, like, okay, we just put in this year a gender fluid line, because it was always a male line and a female line, which is mostly the female line was all drag queens. Right. But the gender fluid is, if you're a male and you wear, women's makeup and wear heels, we can't say no, because we do not want to be discriminating to an individual.
Right.
And that's what it is.
It's good to see that organizations do that, because normally people look at gender and say, okay, you're either a woman or a man. Mm-hmm. You're either a man dressed up as a woman or a woman dressed up as a man, or vice versa, and never an in between. So what you're saying is, if I decide to come out as a man and just put on some heels and some lipstick, I'm considered gender fluid.
Yes.
Awesome. That's great.
Whatever's comfortable to you. You know, if you don't feel like doing the whole nine yards of tucking garments and all that stuff, and you want to be a male, you know, everywhere and just wear makeup and heels and...
I noticed you have a name tag on.
And yes.
Some of our people can't see it. What title do you hold currently?
Currently, I am a duchess.
You're a duchess. Oh, the duchess. And do we have a duchess in the house, boys?
Oh, shit.
We're official now. This is
like
great.
Like Alyssa Edwards would say, trust the duchess.
Well, do you ever see the movie The Duchess?
Yes.
She was referring to the diner.
So when you come into the court, where do you start? And where can you go?
Yeah.
Right? So you're a duchess now. When you came into the court, what was your title?
Lady.
Okay. And then how does it go from there?
Good question. I'm probably
Get your notes.
She got her. She got her. Her manual. There's a manual. They have a manual. This is fantastic.
It's called a laptop.
When I tell you that, oh, that's her laptop. Yes, Chris, good job. No, but listen.
High five.
This is an organization that has a structure. There is structure. There is actual, you know, planning that goes into what people are, who they are, how they can get to where they're going. I did some research on it, and it's really interesting to me that, you know, the setup. That's why I was curious to understand why choose this type of setup. But it makes sense because it just shows – It depends on people's involvement with the organization that determines how they progress
right.
in each level.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. You like you said. You asked where do we start? We start either if you're on the male line, female male line, you are lord. Female line, you're a lady. There's certain requirements you have to do to get elevated, and throughout the year, every May we pay our membership dues, which is $30.
If you want to join.
If you want to join, again, we you know, we appreciate little or a lot that you do. So, I mean, if you want to do two events for the year, fantastic.
So,
if you want to do more than that, that's fantastic. But there's certain requirements if you want to get elevated.
So, speaking of elevation, how vicious is the elevation?
It all depends, and
what I mean by that is obviously you have to put some work into it.
Exactly.
And obviously you're not the only diva or the only person or the only either male, female or individual that chooses to be both putting the work into it.
It's all volunteer.
It's all volunteer. But when I say work, I mean putting the effort into wanting to get elevated.
Yes.
So does that create competition amongst your fellow ladies and lords?
No. Not really, because when this past year we actually had some new members actually joined, like Scarlet Blue, and
Scarlet Blue,
yep, Jared and Lane, who's actually Lane and his good friend Katie, they'll be joining. But they say, you know, they fill out the application, all that, but you have to. It takes a little while. They have a sponsor. So someone to take them under the wing and to understand how their organization works.
When you say sponsor, you mean like an AA sponsor, someone that you see?
Oh my God, no.
No, but I have to ask.
It's like when you go to college and you're a freshman, you have a senior buddy. You know, that person that takes you under their wing and they're like, hey,
this
is how the department works. And this is how...
I have a funny feeling your senior buddy had you in the closet one too many times.
Okay, that's beside the point, but I was nobody's senior buddy. I was like, I'm too busy. Bye.
Okay.
But no, to go on to what like you're saying, like actually it's to layman's terms, show them the ropes of the organization.
Okay.
So, I mean, we'll give you all the critique and all the advice and you run with it however you feel fit. We don't, you know, twist your arm. We don't, you know, say anything bad or nasty that you should do this.
Constructive criticism.
Exactly. You know, and usually new members, when they, you know, we appreciate all the questions. Like, ask us questions. The wrong question is the one you never ask.
That's very traditional.
So you need to, if you want to understand an organization or how one works, please ask. You know?
So you work with a lot of individuals in the community. I've seen you do many shows. You work at all of the bars around here.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not really specific to us.
Oh, snooze that.
Sorry, that was my alarm. So you're not really
an alarm.
My alarm always goes off around this time. So
shut it off.
You're not really specific to an area.
Like that one.
Or a couple of persons. No, I don't want to shut it off. I'm not there yet.
Well, hold on. I'm going to shut you off. Because she never answered my question.
Get it together.
Wait, so I want to know. So you start as a lady or a lord.
Mm-hmm.
Where can you end up and what's in between?
Empress and emperor.
But
no, this,
we're going to go over the
I really want to know. Because I want to be a princess.
Honey, you are a princess, the sky will burn.
Oh, hells to the no.
Because the way you were gaying it at that
supermarket
today.
Girls on fire.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what? Speaking of gay Nick, me and Tommy were talking this weekend about my potential wedding that will never happen.
Oh my God, yes. Okay, well, you look for that information. We're going to come right back to you. Yes.
I looked at him. I'm like, we were talking about something or other.
And I was like, yeah, no. I mean, well, Tom doesn't like going to weddings. And I was like, well, if I ever get married, you have to come. And he's like, well, I mean, of course I'll come if Trish gets married. And then I was like, yeah, you're going to show up with a gun, with a knife, with nips, with mace. You're going to have everything you need. And then you're going to back your car right up to the door so that when I go running, you're ready to go.
She's a runner. And that's exactly what we were talking about. I was like, and you I'm peeing my pants. Crazy. It's true, because we talk about the most random shit when we're in the car.
I know.
And did I mention that we got rear-ended tonight? Saturday night, we went to see Escapade yet again. Amazing show, guys. Yes. The cast. Oh, what a show. Next year, when they do it again, absolutely, we got to do it. But we were driving home, and Nick and I were in the car, and we stop at a red light, and this young Asian woman, she's not Oriental, she's Asian.
You're learning.
I'm learning.
I wasn't in New Haven on Saturday.
She just smacks right into the back of my truck and just took my whole bumper out, but I think I took her whole car away.
So I'm just sitting in his
car.
That
would be the first one Asian topped you.
You're right.
Oh my God. I'm sitting in his car, you know, probably queening out as I do.
Uh-huh.
And he just goes, oh no, honey, slow down. Boom.
Done.
I just looked at him like, what the fuck just happened?
I looked in my rearview mirror and I see her coming. I'm like, oh, I hope this bitch don't hit me. And sure enough, I was like, she just hit me. And then it was raining too, so I had to like pull out my umbrella and I'm like,
great setting. You thought it was Godzilla.
Oh, it was, I'm telling you. And then the poor woman was freaking out, and I got out of the car and I went over. She couldn't open the door. And I'm like, you know, calm down. You're okay. Your car's not on fire.
No. Just... She goes to get out of the car and she's like, oh, hell no, this bitch. I'm like, calm down, Tommy. Make sure she's okay first.
I was going to get Puerto Rican. And then, you know, of course, I didn't get Puerto Rican. But I'm okay.
That was the best thing I'll show.
But I'm okay. And Nick is okay. And, you know, the car is okay. It will be okay after it gets fixed. And, you know.
But your car was like, it was literally like, somebody like threw a penny at your car and our car was demolished.
So Nick says to me, I feel so safe in your car.
I literally did. All these cops kept coming up to me, and I think it's probably because I'm adorable. And they wanted me.
And he was so gay.
And they were like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, how many more are you going to ask? How many more of you are going to ask me?
And he says, and I quote, the cop says to him, can I have your ID? He goes like, oh, you need my ID? And as the cop takes his ID and walks, so he goes like, do you want my number too? That bitch. So anyway, so we're good. Thank God. And she was good. She was not injured. I'm very happy about that because I freak out during accidents. But anyway, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Lucia, darling, back to you.
Answer your question, yeah. Nick. You were asking, how does one go from one level or being elevated? The male line starts off as Lord, then goes to Viscountess. Viscount, Count, Marquis, Baron, Grand Baron, Duke, Grand Duke, Prince, Crown Prince, and then Imperial Crown Princess. Imperial Crown Prince. Sorry.
That's too much cocksucking for me to like move up all those positions. I'm sorry.
But to make it actually easier for you, Nick, you were asking, how does one go from Lord to, if you're in the mail line, lower to Viscount.
She needs the easy version.
Yeah.
Go easy.
I want to be a crown prince.
So these are your three requirements you have to do. Is provide support with overall running of the Imperial Storm Court of All Connecticut to the best of your ability. Attend at least 3 in-state functions.
He'll never be elevated.
And actively...
I work the functions. Anyway, go on.
I had a comment, but I'm not going to say it.
Do it.
Actively participate in planning and running the annual coronation, which is in February of every year after Valentine's Day. So,
and pay your dues, bitch.
All right, hold on. No, I just want to show you all something. Siri, what's my name? Wait for it.
Siri, come on. You're Nicholas, but since we're friends, I get to call you Prince Nicholas.
Fuck the core. I'm already a prince. What?
I cannot stand you.
I love you though, Lucia. I'm sorry. I love you.
You know, but
that's okay. You could be a prince, but last year I was an ICP, so that's still higher rank.
Oh.
But when you were listing the ranks, you left out one because I went to 3 out of the past 6 coronations, or Six or five.
And I remember one of those years, the coronation.
I always had the position of drunkest person there in a tuxedo.
That's
a Ken title.
So my question for you is, who the hell's taking my place?
Drunk person.
That would be a camp title, we call it.
Oh, okay.
A what?
A camp title.
Camp title?
Like, yeah.
Is that where
not a real title?
I don't know. I was just eating the meatloaf that a Canadian made.
So, for instance, like Paul Anthony,
eat anything that Canadians make.
I was calling it Canadian meatloaf.
So, Paul Anthony, just throwing out this as a camp title, he would be the Prince of Rosebuds and Poppers.
Sounds about right.
So can anybody go to the coronation?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Because when you purchase the tickets, all that money goes to charity.
Okay.
You get none of it.
Right. Now, so,
amazing, though. That's a really, really good thing.
So, what charities do these go to?
Well, every year it changes depending on the reigning monarchs. This year we have regent monarchs. We have J.P. Lacari and Brady Alexander. Their beneficiaries are the Alzheimer's Association and the New Haven Prize Center.
Oh, that's great.
So
that's awesome. And I love that it's not only an LGBT organization that they're spreading out to different causes, maybe because of personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
That's always been advice that people says when you do something, do it personal with a personal touch. So last year, Dustin DeCobwebs and Dandy Lions, they chose AIDS Project New Haven, the Jim Collins Foundation, and the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention Southern Chapter, which is like New London area. So they raised over $42,000.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Each beneficiary $12,000.
And we can do more.
Out of all the years since the organization started here, again, you were asking me before, we were in Nutmeg Court, but starting in 2000, we changed it to the Imperial Sovereign Court of All Connecticut. So for the last 16 years, last year, Rain made the most money and gave the most money to the beneficiaries.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. If you were saying like a little beef or a little challenge, that's what we always try to do is like try to. But still, we always say bottom line is we started $1 more than what we started with.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, that's always good. So my next question is, we have many listeners, and we have listeners worldwide. Mm-hmm. If our listeners wanted to contribute to any of the causes that any of these individuals who are holding these titles want to contribute to, where can they go to? What website can they go to so that they could read up on the organization and possibly even help out?
And they could go to www.isc. www.iscofallct.org, and there is a link that will direct you where you could give donations.
Okay, so we can put that on our website as well, so that you guys can have that link. And then also, if you guys wish to help, which I implore that you do because it's always for a great cause, do that. Absolutely.
So it's www.isc, like Imperial Sovereign Court, .org.
No, iscofallct.
Okay.
ALLCT.org.
We'll put it on the website.
We'll put it.
Yeah, because it's like...
That's okay.
After a couple of cocktails, I won't be able to even say the first three letters.
And I will say the coronations, it's a really nice time. It's at a beautiful Marriott Hotel in Windsor, Connecticut, right where
I'm from.
I'm from Windsor Locks, bitch. Windsor Locks. The canal.
Yeah, the Hofer Windsor Marriott.
Yes, yes. It's absolutely beautiful. And you go, the girls are all in dresses. The guys are all in tuxedos.
But every coronation is a different theme. So this year, it's going to be Friday, February 17th to the 19th. And the theme is like... Great Gatsby theme, so like
oh, that'd be nice.
Oh, fun! Awesome.
So this is a whole weekend thing.
Yes,
oh, yeah. That's great.
Every coronation or charity ball, each court has a different theme to it.
Fantastic.
So like last year, Dustin Cobwebs and Dandy Lions, there was Imperial Inquirer. It's like what we caught doing. Because everybody was like the whole point was like everybody was taking selfies, getting the whole the candid photos. That was their niche.
So. I think the most fun part of it was the first coronation I went to.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. I was there.
Okay, well, this was before I had a beverage. not only was the coronation happening there, but the UConn's women's basketball team was there. So imagine being packed in an elevator with 10 guys dressed up in their beautiful gowns and hair, and then like 10 massive UConn women's basketball players. Just
I remember that,
is going on right now?
Then Chris is just in the middle, like,
can I have a drink? Yeah, that was
close. But I had a tux on.
Chris, you looked very cute, by the way.
Will you be my date this year? Take me.
Yeah, take her.
I'm going to be in Germany.
She hates me.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Take her.
Just she put her finger in my face. And then my watch told me to take a moment and breathe.
Oh, Lord have mercy. All right. Well, listen, guys, we need to put a rubber on this episode. And yeah, it's time. I want to thank you, Miss Lucia Virginity, for coming on the show.
You're
talking
welcome.
About the Oh, Lord have mercy. Lord, the impoverished.
The imperial,
the imperial
sovereign
court of all of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. You have enlightened us a little bit more because, like I said, I was completely oblivious to what the organization was all about. And I'm glad that I've actually learned a little bit more about it. And thank you.
I didn't realize it was so big, too.
It is. It's like it's like tip of the iceberg when you join or someone wants to know about it, but that doesn't realize, doesn't understand how much detail and goes into it. So when you get more involved, little by little, I mean, I have to give a lot of shout out and credit to Trevor Reynolds and Morgan Delex, who was reigning monarchs in 2013. They were very nice enough to actually break down everything for me to understand for, you know, layman's terms for someone like, yeah, in the community. So, but more information, you can find us at www.iscofallct.org, Nick.
Yes, queen.
She nailed it.
Yes, queen, yes.
She did forget a W, just saying. I'm sorry.
Come W dot.
Just come.
Or you when,
the next time you're at his bar, don't tip him.
Meanwhile,
in Canada.
But also, you can find me on Facebook as well, too.
No, she better don't.
Hold on. We just went into a new segment, girl. We got to pause.
You can finish that, but we got to pause.
You can find me on Facebook.
Where can
they're
we find
having a moment,
Lucia?
Boys, we're gonna let our guest plug herself first before we go back to Canada.
To the north,
we got to the gates, and they said, "Let me see your passport," and they put you on hold.
One fucking thing I have.
I can't.
You have been held at the border. Hold on to that passport, boy.
Sorry, Lucia. Where can we find you?
You can find me mostly on Facebook. So, unfortunately, Facebook does not have me spell my full name. It's just LuciaVirginty. Apparently, they caught on with the extra I.
Because you can say why?
I don't know. I tried doing that years ago, but you know what? I just left it. That's it. That's it.
But we're also going to put a link on our website to her personal page that we have created on Gay Talk as well.
Exactly.
So that you can access her information and send her any information for even bookings or anything that you want to do. She's available. Yeah. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I will be...
Legs open. She's available.
I'm Lucia, not Summer. Anyways, moving on.
Yes! You got one in.
All right.
But also, yes.
Another pun.
Also, with the Imperial Sovereign Court of all Connecticut, I'm the vice president, which one of the duties is to keep in charge of upcoming events. So every beginning of every month, I do a rundown of all upcoming events. That's charity events. And then I do another one that's all like paid gigs. So, okay. So just follow me on Facebook. I do have a Twitter and Instagram, but I don't use them much. So
okay, so she
like Kiki, I don't twat, but I mean,
fantastic, I love it.
She stole that line from me, by the way.
Oh, yes, no, you're in trouble now, Miss mm-hmm. Kiki. All right, so Christoph, back to Canada. Oh. We're at the border.
Is the border open now?
You just gave them your passport, said you're welcome.
He says denied.
I can cross?
I'm sashaying right now in between the tree line.
Yeah.
So y'all are up to that. I'm just going to wish a very happy Thanksgiving to all of our Canadians out there. Enjoy your lovely Thanksgiving holiday. Have a beaver tail for me.
Yes.
Wait, do they not have turkey? They have beaver tail?
No, they eat that stuff too.
Beaver tail is essentially fried dough shaped as a beaver.
Oh, okay.
Beaver's tail.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to all of our Canadian friends.
I'm always looking out for you guys and chinking about you.
Okay, well, listen, fantastic. So, guys, we do have to wrap this up.
I just did want to plug one thing if I could. I'm going to do it anyway.
Do it, baby.
I'm going to my friend Michael Brown and I, he'll be on the show eventually, big supporter of the New Haven Symphony Orchestra, and they will be performing one of my favorite pieces on October 20th. It's Thursday, Thursday, October 20th, 7:30 at Woolsey Hall in New Haven. It's a beautiful hall. And they will be doing Antonin Dvorak's Symphony No. 9 in E minor from the New World, one of my favorite pieces ever written. Max Bruch's Violin Concerto No. 1 in G minor, and Schubert's Symphony in B minor, The Unfinished. You can find myself and Michael Brown there, and maybe I can drag these guys along for some culture.
He went to the symphony, he showed up at my bar dressed as Indiana Jones.
I saw that.
Hoisted.
I'll have you know I fell asleep in an Uber that night. And when I got out, he was like, Dr. Jones, your hat.
I was like, thanks.
Well... On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I got some stuff that I would like to just throw out there. I want to thank the cast of Escapade for extending an invitation to the cast of Gay Talk 2.0.
Hashtag loved it.
Yes, it was amazing.
It was.
And having us come see their show. And next time they come around, which I'm sure it'll be next September and October, please make sure to go check them out. Support this great, fantastic artist. He did such a great job. We're very proud of him. Next week, October 17th, we have Barbara Jones Streetsand visiting Gay Talk 2.0. It's going to be amazing. And we also have Grind of the Opera comes back to Connecticut on Thursday, October 27th. They'll be at Wild Auditorium at the University of Hartford. Tickets are available. You can go to www.ourtruecolors.org. And then further on in October, we have Hocus Pocus Live, which will be happening October 28th, October 29th, and October 30th at the Shea Est in Hartford, Connecticut. And I'll let Nick introduce the next person we'll have 2 weeks from now.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
You finally done it.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of this amazing, amazing man. And on October 24th, we will be talking with... the one, the only, Dan Savage on Gay Talk 2.0.
Oh, my God.
I am
only... Can I sit in for that one? Seriously? I'll just sit in. Like, just right in.
You can. It's Nick's show that week. I'm letting Nick handle.
You have no idea how I'm excited. I have been obsessed with Dan Savage since I found out who Dan Savage was, which I'm pretty sure I found out when I was, like, maybe a sophomore in college. And just like reading up on him constantly.
He's got all of his books.
He's producing new shows now. I would take it, Dan. Terry, that's fine too.
You're already cheating on Cooper Anderson.
First of all,
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper.
And that one's mine.
Oh, wait, not.
You have... So, ladies and gentlemen, that's Dan Savage is going to come on the show on the 24th. We're super excited to have him. I want to thank all of our guests during this past month of October and September.
Busy month.
We had such an amazing turnout. I want to thank Summer Orlando, Kiki Lucia, Mia Isile. I want to thank Lucia Virginity. I want to thank
Dave Hartman.
I want to thank Christine W. and Michael Buckley for always being such a great supporter. And of course, we're excited for Dan Savage. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for tuning into this episode, and y'all have a fantastic day.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.